Great evening,
Love
and to
Talk
God
Radio.
be the glory. Great evening, and to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. I want to welcome you to Beauty from Ashes Ministries International Incorporated for our Monday night BFA Live. I'm so used to saying Tuesday night conference call. Our Monday night BFA Live blog talk radio show. I'm so grateful that you took time out of your busy day to join us on tonight. I was having some technical difficulties trying to get this show started through the online site and getting some things situated, but I am so glad that we are able to get on. I'm just going to ask if anyone is on, if you could please just let me know that you hear me live and clear. You can shoot me a text. That would be phenomenal so that I know that we are on the air. I am excited about what the Lord is doing in this season and for how he is moving in this season. And I just truly believe that he is up to something magnificent and phenomenal. And so what God is asking of us is that we just position ourselves to receive what he is doing in our midst. Amen. And so I'm going to ask if someone could just let me know that you hear me. That would be great. Amen. All right, let me see. All right, so thank you guys for letting me know that you hear me. I'm on and I'm live and clear. Amen. So God be the glory. So we are going to go ahead and get started with the word of prayer. And for those that joined us, we have not had the blog in quite some time, but the last time that we had our blog, we were talking about self-care. And so the Lord has kind of shifted me a little bit to talk about really looking at taking care of the mind, taking care of the mind. And that's something that we struggle with as believers because we are often attacked in our minds. That is the battlefield. That is the battleground in which the enemy uses so often to get us to a place where we are not able to operate effectively. And so as a result of that, it causes us to struggle in our daily lives trying to live in victory because we are going through this battle in our minds. And as a result of what we are experiencing in our minds, it also causes us to struggle in our daily lives. Amen. And so I want to know, as you listen to this message on tonight, I want to know if you are committed to making sure you take some authority over your thoughts so that you can live the life that God desires you to live. Amen. Because this is the thing. Many of us are not living our best life. And even on yesterday, as I talked about spiritual warfare and began to explain some things as it relates to spiritual warfare, one of the most powerful revelations that the Lord was really telling me was that many of us are not living our best lives. We are stuck in this place in our lives where we are trying to get to a place of victory. We're trying to get to a place where we are able to walk in power. We're trying to get to a place where we are able to see the manifestation of miracle signs and wonders. But a lot of our struggle is based on the way that we think. And so because of the way that we think, we are not able to be effective in our lives. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I desire to live my best life now. I spent enough time weeping, enough time being perplexed, enough time stressed out. Amen. Being in the world and being in the body of Christ, I really do not want to sign up to be in a position where I am struggling on a daily basis. Amen. Is there anybody that's with me on that? Hallelujah. I really want to get to a place where I am actually living in peace, living in joy, walking in abundance. And a lot of what we are really desiring is going to start with the way that we perceive life, the way that we look at life, the way that we are thinking about our lives. Amen. And so we're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer. And our scripture tonight is going to come from Matthew chapter 4. Amen. We're going to be looking at starting at verse 1, going down to verse number 11. Matthew 4, starting at verse 1, going to verse 11, but I'm going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer, amen, and then we will go from there, Amen. So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful, Lord God, that you have given us this time to come and to share and to study your word. Now, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will allow your anointing to fall fresh upon us as we prepare to study this word. I pray that you forgive us of our sins. I pray that you will encourage us. I pray that you will strengthen us. I pray that you will allow us to see, Father God, the manifestation of your word and what this really means for us in our daily lives. Father, help us to understand, God, how to walk in a position where we are able to take care of our mind, and starting with our thought life, that we will be able to live the life that you desire to give us. Father, we are committed on tonight to receiving what you have to say about us so that we can ultimately get to the place in which we are going to be in your perfect will. We love you, Father. We thank you. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Now, Father, I pray that the people will hear absolutely none of me, but all of you, and you will get the glory for each and every word. This is my prayer on tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and the people of God said amen. Amen. And as I was praying, the Lord shifted me a little bit. So I want to ask if you guys could turn to Matthew 3. We're going to start at verse number... Let's start at verse number 16. Matthew 3, starting at verse number 16. And it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Then, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended unto him. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord on tonight. Starting at Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16, going into Matthew chapter 4, verse number 11. And so the Lord is leading me to bind the hands of the enemy as we are preparing to receive this word on tonight. Amen. So we talked a little bit about self-care quite a few weeks ago. And one of the things that the Lord dropped in my spirit for the title on tonight is looking at the battlefield of the mind. Now, if anyone has ever had an opportunity to read Joyce Meyer's book called Battlefield of the Mind, you would agree with me that there were some profound truths found in that book that helped us to understand how to overcome the mindset that we have moving from being in the world to being in the kingdom. And one of the things that I want to encourage you in is that a part of your biggest struggle is not going to be what's going on the outside, but it's going to be what's going on the inside. You are what you think. If you would be able to sit and begin to inspect your mind and the thoughts that come into your mind, the thoughts that you allow to come into your mind, the thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind, and even some of your own beliefs, moral systems, and values, you will come to know that there are some areas in your life and in the way you think that have often caused you to miss out on your best life. And I believe that there's someone that can relate in that regard, knowing that there have been opportunities that you have missed, knowing that there have been friendships and relationships that you have sabotaged, knowing that there have been experiences and situations in which you could have been in other positions and moved forward in a higher level of thinking, but you have chosen, because of your limited thinking, to miss out and to sabotage certain things that the Lord has given you. And I want to encourage you on tonight that just because some opportunities were missed in previous seasons does not mean that you cannot still live your best life now. I want you to know that the key to your think. Your ability to enjoy your day is directly connected to the way you think. But you have to begin to allow the Lord to deal with you and begin to confront you as it relates to your thinking process and how you are perceiving every situation and circumstance that you are going through. Hence, what brings us to our text on tonight, where we see in Matthew chapter 3, this familiar passage of scripture where John the Baptist is literally baptizing the Savior of the world. And if anybody has had an opportunity to find out anything about John the Baptist, you would know that John the Baptist in his early existence was called to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Pastor B? John the Baptist was called to prepare the way for Christ. He was called to lead the way to Jesus. He was called to actually be the forerunner or the first one to actually pave the road for Christ to be able to begin to manifest the power in the earth realm that God was desiring to give believers. And so what you see here in the text is you see John the Baptist in this position humbling himself so that he could actually be able to baptize Jesus, and then Jesus humbling himself to receive the baptism of John the Baptist so that he could be able to walk in his earthly ministry. Hallelujah. And so what took place was Jesus actually went through the steps that the believers would have to go through in order to be redeemed. Now, the thing that was interesting for me was, why would Jesus need to be baptized? Why would Jesus need to humble himself? Why would Jesus feel the need to be baptized? But this is the thing. The reason why Jesus went through this process to be baptized was because Jesus had to receive an affirmation from God. I need somebody to understand that one of the reasons why you are going through this process of humility is because you need to hear from God about your purpose so that you know that you know that you know that you were called to do what you were called to do. God allowed Christ himself to humble himself, hallelujah, to represent, hallelujah, the fact that believers would now have to go through this process in order to be saved, in order to be set free, in order to be delivered, in order to receive the new covenant of the law. He had to humble himself to be the first partaker, not because he necessarily had to, was because he was preparing himself to walk out the purpose in which God had called him. And I need somebody to understand, you are in this place of humility because God is about to prepare you for your earthly ministry. You are going through what you're going through so that you can get to this place of elevation. You are going through what you're going through to see whether or not you can handle the warfare at the level that you are going to. You are going through what you're going through, not for yourself so that you can reach somebody else. You are going through what you're going through to prepare you for the next level that God has for you. Jesus humble himself, that John the Baptist will baptize him. Hallelujah. And actually, it says in verse number 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. And so Jesus received this affirmation from God. He received this push from God. He received this confirmation from God. He received this direction from God, this insight from God, this understanding from God. He received the reality of the fact that he was now about to walk in the manifestation of all that had been prophesied over him. Hallelujah. And I need somebody to understand that the reason why you are in the season that you're in is because God is trying to prepare you for where you're headed. Hallelujah. One of the biggest challenges that we have as believers is that we don't understand that Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so what that means is that every situation, every circumstance, everything that you have ever gone through and all the things that you are going through now are working together for your good. Hallelujah. Every setback is positioning you for a setup, for a comeback. Every discouraging situation that you experience is God trying to push you to a place where you have joy and you're able to encourage yourself and other people. Every roadblock, stumbling block, every naysayer, every critic, every hater, every situation that comes at you is not to tear you down, but God is trying to see, are you mature enough to handle what he is trying to give you in this next season of your life? Hallelujah. And so John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Jesus comes out of the water, receiving an affirmation from God, receiving his order so that he could walk out the purpose and plan in which he was created. But one of the things that was so interesting to me as I studied this text, as I read this text so many times, is the fact that immediately after Jesus was affirmed, immediately after the consecration, immediately after the elevation, immediately after the positioning of him walking in purpose, he is immediately sent and led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the enemy. Oh, my goodness. So you mean to tell me that God has just given Jesus this push, hallelujah, in the Spirit. He has just come down to affirm him from through an open heaven, and now he's going to be tempted by the enemy? Are you serious that Jesus himself is now, hallelujah, going to be tested and tried? Jesus himself is now going to be put, hallelujah, through this test by God and being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being led by the Spirit to be tempted by the enemy, to be attacked by the enemy? Can you really say this is the case? Hallelujah. And what took place was that Jesus had to go through this situation so that once he came out of it, he would know and have no doubt in his mind the authority that he had no doubt in his mind the call that he had, have no doubt in his mind the purpose that he was created, had no doubt in his mind the assignment in which he was created. He had to go through this so that he could prepare for his elevation. Hallelujah. And so what happens is you see Jesus being tempted of the devil. You see him fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You see him hungry, and you see the enemy coming in. Hallelujah. And so as a result of this, you see a couple of things take place. But I want to start here because this is where we find Jesus in this battlefield in the mind. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus has just gotten revelation about what he's about to do in the earth. He has just gotten a clear affirmation from God about his purpose, and now he is in a battle with the enemy. Hallelujah. And that is where many of us are on today. We have gotten revelation. We have gotten confirmation. We have gotten all of this affirmation from God. And now we in our minds, hallelujah, are in this battle. And your mind may be in one battle where someone else is dealing with something else in their mind as their battle. But all of us on a daily basis are in some type of war. We are literally not wrestling just against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. And even in Beauty from Ashes on yesterday, we talked about walking and putting on the full armor of God. But one of the things that we have to make sure we do is we have to make sure we allow our mind to be in us that was also in Christ Jesus by learning how to overcome the mind. There are many people in the earth that are struggling with mental illness because their mind has become ill. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Their mind is in a place of bondage. Hallelujah. Their mind is in a place of brokenness. Hallelujah. Your life can cause you to go in a place if you don't allow God to cover your mind. If you don't even plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, you can go to some places in your mind that would take you completely out of the assignment in which God has called you. And so as the people of God, we have to learn how to overcome the battlefield of the mind. And so let's look at the text a little bit closer. It says in verse number 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The first thing you got to do if you are going to overcome the battlefield of the mind is you got to get some word in you. And this sounds like a very simple thing, hallelujah, but for many of us, some of our biggest challenge comes from the fact that we don't have enough word in us. Amen. Because the Bible declares in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship." And then it says in verse 2, "And be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The only way you can renew your mind is if you get in God's word. Help me, Holy Spirit. You have to change the way you are thinking. Many of us, we have sabotaged our own lives because we are thinking the wrong things. Amen. What does God's word say about you? How many more confirmations do you have to have? Hallelujah. Even Jesus himself, he got confirmation and affirmation from God about the fact that he was God's son in whom God was pleased with. Hallelujah. God wants you to know that you are his child. You are his daughter. You are his son. Hallelujah. And you have to get to the place where you receive that in your mind. Many of us, we have sabotaged relationships because we have assumed that everyone is rejecting us when, in fact, people are trying to love you. Many of us have sabotaged, hallelujah, opportunities because we have assumed that we're not good enough, that we're not able, that we're not capable, that we're not qualified. And so nobody has to talk you out of what God is saying. You have talked yourself out of it because you have not changed the way you have thought. Hallelujah. One of the things that I will be honest to share with you guys is that I have myself been through a lot of situations in which I have allowed the spirit of offense to set in. And because of that, I had to really pray and ask the Lord to give me understanding about why is it that I am constantly battling with this same situation with the spirit of offense. And the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me a revelation in regards to love and what love is supposed to do. And he keeps saying to me, love covers a multitude of sin. And if you are in God's love, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all your fears. And so when I begin to look at that thing, what I begin to understand is that if I'm operating in the love of God, then I am not capable of loving anyone. I have to allow God to love through me. If I have surrendered myself and submitted myself to God, I have to allow God to love through me. And the spirit of offense has come because I have tried to love myself, and I do not have enough love to give the people that God wants me to love. And so what I've had to do on a consistent basis is pray and ask God to help me so that I can operate in his love and not my own love. And I want to let somebody know that the spirit of rejection that you have experienced with and battled with over your life, God is trying to get you to be the person who will not reject anyone else because you know how it feels to be rejected. And I need somebody to understand, help me, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that God is desperately trying to get love to you, but you keep rejecting the love because you're so used to being hurt, you're so used to being mistreated, you're so used to people taking advantage of you that you have missed out on the love that God is trying to give you, even to the point where people say they love you, you don't believe them. Who am I talking to tonight? Hallelujah. You have to look at what is this thing that is causing me to struggle so bad, and a lot of it is based on the way that we think. There's some of us that are on this call. The spirit of anger has taken root in you because you have not allowed yourself, hallelujah, to be purged of that anger by changing the way you think. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Hallelujah, Shia. You got to get to a place in your life where you are able to lay down whatever is causing you to be angry by immediately going into a place of prayer. God desires for you to have a righteous anger in which you have a low tolerance for things that are done to harm other people, but he wants you to use your powers for good and not evil. We're talking about overcoming the mind. Hallelujah. Many of us have allowed the spirit of fear to take root in our lives. Amen. And it has caused us to think all of these things that are not true. Fear represents false expectations appearing real. And so if you desire to overcome the battlefield of the mind, the first thing you got to do is you got to get some word in you. Jesus himself had to speak this thing out of his mouth to the enemy. Amen. He had to say in verse 4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. When you look in the word, what do you need? Hallelujah, to be able to get to a place of victory. What scriptures do you need to get in your spirit? And I'm not talking about being all extra deep, because some of the word that we need to stand on is a very simple verse of scripture. What word do you need to pull out so that you can cut up the lies of the enemy? Hallelujah. I'm talking to a wife that you believe your husband does not love you because he does not speak loving words all the time. But do you understand, hallelujah, that God has called you to be the one that loves? Amen. He wants you to be the one that affirms. He wants you to be the one that encourages. Hallelujah. But if you continue to allow your mind to think that your husband does not love you because he is working so hard and providing for you and your family, you will miss out on the marriage and the life that you're supposed to have. languages, books. There are different types of ways that men and women communicate love. And just because someone does not communicate love the way that you do does not mean that they do not love you. And there are people that are on this call that I'm talking to tonight. There are so many people around you that love you. Amen. But you are looking for this love to come in the package in which you would give it. And that's not reality. Amen. Many of us, we have struggled because we're looking for this to come the way that we were given. But everybody does not communicate love in the same way. What does the word of God say? Hallelujah. Will you look at what the word says and then line up your thoughts so that you will not continue to be in this low place? I rebuke every spirit that has caused you to be in a warfare in your mind tonight. Come out and begin to overcome the battlefield of the mind. And so Jesus answered, talking to the enemy. He did not whisper this. He said this declaringly, boldly. He said this to let the devil know, hallelujah, I'm not listening to what you're saying. I am listening to what God said. Hallelujah. I am declaring that I am going to stand on the word of God. What are you declaring out of your mouth when the enemy comes in like a flood? Are you going to allow the word to come out to lift up a standard against them by speaking what God's word says about you? Hallelujah. Man cannot curse whom God has blessed. Amen. Satan cannot curse whom God has blessed. Will you begin to speak out of your mouth what God has said about you in his word? But if you don't know his word, you cannot declare his word. If you do not know his word, you will not have understanding about what you need to say. And I'm not talking about just reading silently, but there are some times and some seasons in your life where you have to read this thing out loud. Psalms 40, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the muck and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, even a hymn of praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What word are you standing on tonight, people of God, to overcome the battlefield of the mind? Hallelujah. And so after this first attack, hallelujah, that came, hallelujah, it says in verse number 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I want to talk tonight. Not only do you have to have the word of God in you so that you can overcome the battlefield of the mind, but you got to get to a place where you're able to be bold and confront the enemy. Help me, Holy Spirit. There are some times that you are going through a warfare in your mind, and you have to open up your mouth and say boldly, hallelujah, that you shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. You have to open up your mouth and say boldly that my house, hallelujah, is provided for, hallelujah. You have to open up your mouth and say boldly, hallelujah, that the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Lord, I believe that you, hallelujah, are going to provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I'm talking about overcoming the battlefield of the mind. Will you open up your mouth and take your joy back? Will you open up your mouth and take your family back? Will you open up your mouth and take your children back? Will you open up your mouth and take back what the enemy has stolen from you? Jesus began to speak boldly. Thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. He was able to declare it in the atmosphere. Some of our biggest problems is that we don't want to open up our mouths and give God the glory that is due unto him. Some of our biggest problem is that we're so afraid of the enemy, but we will not open up our mouths to give God a real praise and a real worship. I heard somebody say that praise confuses the enemy. Hallelujah. As loud as you shout for the Lord, it has to put him Hallelujah. Jesus was bold. He was not afraid. And many of us are probably saying, well, I'm not Jesus. And that is very, very true. Hallelujah. But you have the same power on the inside of you through the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Will you open up your mouth and begin to shout for it? Hallelujah. Will you open up your mouth and stir up the power of the Holy Spirit? Many of us, we're waiting for somebody else to do what we won't do. And in this season, if you desire to win the battlefield of the mind, you got to open up your mouth and even your utterance. Hallelujah, will put the devil on flee. Amen. Will you open up your mouth and begin to shout to the Lord your God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I bless your name, oh God. I glorify you. I'm not talking about a whisper. You whisper for too long and the devil's not going anywhere. Will you open up your mouth and shout for it? Will you open up your mouth and praise for it? Don't just wait for somebody else to do it because they're doing it because they're getting their breakthrough. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, but will you do it because you're waiting on yours? God wants to know how bad do you want it. Will you open up your mouth so he can hear you praising him, because he's seeking those that will worship, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And the truth is that some of us have been stuck for way too long, and we're waiting for somebody to poke and prod and lay hands on and speak to. But God said for you to come out of this warfare, you got to speak to it yourself. Glory to your name, Jesus. You got to be bold. You got to be willing to open up your mouth and say something. Hallelujah. Many of us will be quick to lay somebody out for doing something to us. Amen. But we don't want to praise God the way that he truly desires. You holding back your praise. You holding back your worship. You holding back your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you're upset because God is not moving quick enough for you. But God is saying, I can't tell that you really want it. I can't tell that you really are desiring to see me do something in your life because you're too quiet. But somebody, hallelujah, that really wants God to do something, has a desperation cry. They have a loud cry from the depths of their soul. Hallelujah. I try to keep it to myself, but somebody said it's like fire shot up in my bones. Will you praise for it in this season to overcome the battlefield of the mind? Hallelujah. Not only do you got to get to a place in your life where you stand on the word of God and speak the word of God and know the word of God, but you also have to get to the point, hallelujah, where you are bold about it, where you are able to be alive in Christ. And many of us are dead in the spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. We are dead in the spirit. And so God has to come in and continue to lay hands on you. Amen. He has to come in and continue to poke and prod you. Amen. But God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Somebody that has been redeemed is not someone that's just going to sit down on their praise. Someone that has been redeemed is not someone that's just going to sit down and watch. But they're going to worship, they're going to exalt, they're going to open up their mouths, and they're going to give God the glory that's due. And I want to tell you guys that when we as the body of Christ get to the place in our lives where we want it bad enough by lifting up the name of the Lord, you won't have to see somebody preach because the Holy Ghost through the glory of God will fall in the atmosphere and God will do his own work on us. Hallelujah. But that takes collaboration, that takes unity, that takes a desperation in the spirit. How bad do you want it? Some of us, we've been giving the devil too much credit. Will you take back? Hallelujah. Because the enemy has no power unless we give it to him. Will you take it back by letting him know Jesus did not bow down to him? He did not bow down. In fact, he actually went to a place where he stood at the highest point and he said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not bowing down to you because God is going to get the glory through me. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 7. It says, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Not only do you have to have the word of God and stand on the word of God and speak the word of God. Not only do you have to be bold, hallelujah, in your belief and in your praise and in your worship, but the third thing you got to do if you're going to win the battlefield of the mind is you have to know who you're serving. Help me, Holy Spirit. You got to know who you're serving. Hallelujah. Many of us, our biggest problem is that we're serving people instead of serving God. We're looking for people to be in a place where they affirm. We're looking for people to be in agreement. We're looking for people people to push. We're looking for people to speak. We're looking for people to walk with. We're looking for all of these people to be around us. Amen. But they were not there the night when he found you. Amen. Will you move yourself out of the place of people pleasing into the place of God pleasing? Will you move yourself out of the place of waiting for an affirmation from a man and wait for what the Lord is saying to you? Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that he was pleased, that God was pleased by him. And so he did not get caught up in what the enemy was saying. He did not get caught up in what the devil was trying to do. But what he said was, he said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus was bold enough to say to the devil, I know who I am and I'm not worshiping you. Many of us are struggling in our minds because we're waiting for mom to validate. Many of us are struggling in our minds because we're waiting for husband and wife to validate. Many of us are struggling in our mind because we're waiting for an apology. We're waiting for somebody to affirm. We're waiting for somebody to confirm. We're waiting for 2 and 3 confirmations. We're waiting for somebody to push. We're waiting for somebody to speak. We're waiting for somebody to lay hands on and to stir up the gifts. We're waiting for all of these validations and confirmations and promotions from people. Man cannot do it, because elevation truly comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I felt somebody got their breakthrough right there. You've been waiting all these years for the apology that you're never going to get. Can you just forgive them and move forward knowing that it still worked together for your good? You're still waiting for them to show up. God said, don't wait another day, but continue to move forward, understanding that I am forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on to win the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Will you get to the point where you say, you know what? For God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will you get to the point where you say, the Lord give and the Lord take it away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether you come or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you're there or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you support or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you are walking with me or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you affirm or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you confirm or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you encourage or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether you support or not, I'm going to bless him. Whether or not you're there walking, I'm blessing him. Hallelujah. You got to get to a point where you have a radical praise, because you know what God brought you out of and you know what God is taking you to. Many of us have been waiting for too long for all these other people to speak what God has spoken to us. It's not going to happen, y'all. We got to get to the point where we know that if God said it, that settles it. Oh, God, I bless your name. The battlefield of the mind is our biggest battlefield. And I want to talk for a second through the Holy Spirit to someone who has for years struggled with believing that you are able to do this assignment that God has given you. Hallelujah. God said, yes, he chose you to do this. Stop asking him, hallelujah, about why he chose you. Just know that he chose you. Hallelujah. He called you. He chose you. He justified you. He will glorify you. Stop waiting, hallelujah, for your next confirmation. Some of us have had 50 confirmations waiting on this and waiting on that. And the Lord is saying on tonight, just move forward in what I said. Know that whom I called, I justified. Whom I justified, I'm going to glorify. Hallelujah. Just know, hallelujah, said the Lord, that what I've given you to do is what you are supposed to do. Know that I have affirmed you. Know that I have encouraged you. Know that I have called you. Know that I am going to elevate you into the position that I have for you, declares the Lord. And no man can block what I have called you to do. I need you to move out of your own way, says God, and move forward into the purpose and the plan and the destiny in which I called you. Yes, I've called you. Hallelujah. Many people have called you different names, declares the Lord, but know that I have called you son. Know that I have called you daughter. Know that I have called you holy. Know that I have called you righteous. Know that I have called you justified. Know that I have called you glorified. Know that I have called you anointed. Know that I have called you redeemed. Know that I have called you strong. Know that I have called you purposeful. Know that I have called you faithful. Know that I have called you, Hallelujah, to walk in my glory, to walk in my splendor, to walk in my anointing, to walk in my purpose, to walk in my plan, to walk in my destiny that I have created you. When you were in your mother's womb, said the Lord, I called you then, and I'm still calling you now, says God. Will you receive your call, declares the Lord. This is a clarion call from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, for the true worshiper, the true praiser. This is the time for you to walk in purpose, says God. Hallelujah. This is the time for you to walk in my plan, my destiny. Stop struggling in your mind with if you're worthy enough to do this. I have called you, says the Lord. Stop struggling in your mind, thinking that you will always be in this struggle. The struggle is over, says God. Now you have to receive that the struggle is over, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Know that I have worked out every strategic situation that was meant for your bad to be able to work out for your good. Every roadblock, every stumbling block, every mistake, every battle, every challenge, every situation, every circumstance, says God. Every error, everything that you've been through, I'm working it out for your good. And as you come out of this place, says the Lord, into a place of a full deliverance in your mind, you will be able to stand and declare my glory, says God. And no person will be able to get the credit, says the Lord, for what I have done in and through you. Know that as you get to this platform, says God, that I will get the glory for what I have done through you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord said, well, you step into place, Hallelujah, by receiving what I said about you, says God, in your mind. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling. He's calling for his sons and his daughters to walk in purpose. You were never fit in. You were meant to stand out. You are unique. You are chosen. You are different. I have created you to be who I have created you to be. Do not be ashamed of it from this day forward. Be who I have called you to be. Knowing, says God, that I will perfect those things that concern you. I just need you to trust me in the process, says the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. And I'm going to continue in this real quick in Matthew chapter 4, and it says in verse 1, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there because this is the purpose. This is the call to preach the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have to overcome the battlefield of the mind, because there are people waiting on us. There are people waiting on you that need to hear that a Savior lives, that they don't have to die, hallelujah, that they can live in eternal life, that hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, he died for our sins, but he rose again on the third day, and he now is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And as a result of the confession of our faith, accepting him as Lord and receiving our salvation and our redemption and our deliverance through Christ Jesus, that we now have the ability to live a life eternal in Christ. We have the ability to live delivered. We have the ability to live set free lives in victory to the glory of God. That is the purpose that we have been created. And many of us, the reason why we have gone through the things that we have gone through is because God is calling for us to be real disciples of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be the disciples that share with other people that he is alive and well, and that he has accepted us, and we are now connected back to God through what the blood of Jesus Christ did. Hallelujah. So it says in verse number 18, and Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Hallelujah. It said at once they didn't struggle with it in their minds. They didn't think, okay, is this what I'm supposed to do? They immediately, when they heard that Jesus was calling them, that they had a purpose, that there was something more to life. They had to see something on Christ to believe that there was something more to life than what they were doing. And so they made a decision to leave where they were. And that's what I want to speak to you on tonight. There's someone that's on this call, and you have been where you are for way too long. And God is saying, come to the next place. Come to your next level. Come. Hallelujah. You're waiting on your next level. God said, your next level is now. Hallelujah. You got to overcome the battlefield of the mind. God said, you've been in your own way for way too long. Now come and follow me. And so he said to them, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And so what you see is as a result of Jesus overcoming this attack from the enemy in his mind, he was able to do his earthly ministry. He was able to walk and be effective. He was able to make an impact. He was able to take other people from where they were. Hallelujah. And in order for you to think about this, you got to really look at the fact that if somebody is in their home, in their place of employment, they're in their comfort zone, what would make them decide to move from where they were into where they had no idea where they were going? They had to believe something about Jesus. We don't know what Jesus said fully to them, but it had to be something that Jesus said to them to draw them. And I truly believe that what Jesus said to them to draw them and what Jesus was able to portray and present to them was compassion and love. Hallelujah. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love draws. Love connects. Love builds. Love encourages. Love strengthens. Love heals. Love unifies. He had a love that was from God that drew them to the point where they wanted to know who he was. And that's what God is raising up in this season. He doesn't want us to be the confrontational believers, amen, that wants to call out everybody else's sin and look at how bad and evil they are. There will be time where God will have us to teach and to train and to help people to understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But there is a people that God is raising up that will draw by the love of God, by the love of Jesus Christ. Many of us, the reason why we're not seeing the impact in our earthly ministry is because our hearts are so burdened down by the cares of this world, because our minds are so burdened down by the cares of this world, and we're looking at other people and expecting what their love walk looks like. But God is saying tonight, in order for you to be able to overcome the battlefield of mind, you got to begin to also allow him to inspect your heart. What's in there that should not be there anymore? Help me, Holy Ghost. There's some of us that we have been holding on to hurt. We've been holding on to pain. We've been holding on to all these things. And this is the thing. For the past years, God has had me teaching about this. Amen. And it wasn't until this weekend that I began to understand what all of the root of this stuff was. And as I began to allow the Holy Spirit to perform surgery on my heart, one of the things that I began to identify is the fact that I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I want to encourage somebody that's in this place where your heart has been broken, in this place where you have been taken advantage of, in this place where you've been through situations and circumstances, allow God to change your heart, amen, so that you can have a heart to love other people. Because the love of God covers a multitude of sin. And so they followed him. And as you continue to read through the book Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the gospel, you see different depictions of the life of Jesus Christ and how his love and compassion drew people to a life of redemption and a life of deliverance. That is what God is doing in this season. He wants to use us to draw people into a life of deliverance and redemption. He wants to use us to reach the lost, to reach the broken, to reach the hungry, to reach the downtrodden. He wants to use us, the homeless, to reach the incarcerated, to reach the mentally ill. He wants to use us to reach those who are in poverty, for those that are in despair, who are hopeless, who are apathetic. He wants to use us to reach those that are empty, that are broken, that are exhausted, and that want to quit. He wants to use us to reach those, amen, so that we can show a dying world that a Savior lives. And as we do this, as we lift him up, he would draw all men unto him. So on tonight, I encourage you to overcome the battlefield of the mind by getting in God's word, by moving to a place of boldness in your faith, in your praise, in your worship, and by finally remembering who you serve. Amen. And as you do this, God will shift you into a place where you will be able to reach other people through love and compassion, because you have surrendered your life and sold out for the name that's above every name. I heard someone say that it was on a Friday that they beat him and they bruised him. 39 stripes he took on his body. And they buried him in a tomb. And then he got up on the third day on that Sunday morning and rose from his grave with the nail prints in his hand, the piercing in his side, and the crown of thorns that was pressed on his head. There were marks to represent that. but he was bruised for our transgression, for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we're healed. We don't have to struggle in the battlefield of the mind. And we continue to every day make a decision to think like Jesus thought by allowing ourselves to go into his word. Because when we get into his word, we recognize the truth. And the truth shall make us free. Let us pray. Father, we come before you on tonight. First, we repent because we have allowed ourselves, Lord God, in the cares of this world and the experiences of our lives to cause us to be in a place where we have been in a battlefield in our minds, Lord God. And this battlefield has also transitioned into our hearts. And it has caused us to have hardened hearts that we have not been able to be effective in our ministry, in our lives, as husbands, as wives, even as children. Lord God, we have allowed our lives to cause us to struggle in our faith and in our relationship and connection with you. So we pray that you created us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit. Cast us not away from thy presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from us, Lord God, but restore us to the joy of our salvation and give us a willing spirit that will sustain us, Father. Help us to be able to walk in a position of victory, Lord God, by understanding that you are who you say you are, God, and that you have not left us nor forsaken us. Father, as we come, Father, we ask that you will help our minds to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Father God, help us to cast down every thought, every imagination, every high, every lofty thing that itself against the knowledge of God. Help us to put on the helmet of salvation, oh God, and to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we will be able to cover our minds and we will be able to cut up the lies of the enemy by speaking the word out of our mouths. Oh God, we pray that you will stir up the word so heavy in our spirits, Lord God, that we will be able to speak it out of our mouths and that we will be able to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Oh God, we repent tonight because there have been times that we have been lazy as it relates to studying your word and reading your word. And Father, even times when we did not understand your word, so we cry out for more understanding, for more revelation, Lord God, that as we read the word, that it will come off the pages, Father, that it will permeate in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls, that we will be able to walk this life that you have given us, oh God. We understand that we are sinners saved by grace, Father, but that you have given us a gift through your word and through our Lord and Savior, that we may be able to live this life in victory and that we will accomplish the purpose and what you have said for us, even before we were born here, Lord God, when we were in our mother's womb. So, Father, we thank you. Father God, empty our minds of the thoughts that are not lining up with your word. God, help us to have the mind of Christ. Father God, help us to replace every thinking error, Father God. Father, every defense mechanism, oh God. Father, every thought that is guarded and rooted in offense. Every thought that is based off of anger, every thought that is based off of emotional distress, every thought based off of shame, every thought based off of fear, every thought based off of rejection, Father, help us, God, to uproot these things, Lord God, in our minds so that we can understand that as we look around us that we are loved, that as we look around us that we are valuable, as we look around us that we have been called, that we have been justified, that we will be glorified because we are your sons, because we are your daughters, because we are the chosen, because we are called. Help us, God, to not try to fit in, but to remember that you have created each and every one of us to stand out as an example that Jesus lives, to stand out as an example that Christ, Hallelujah, has risen from the grave, and the fact that we're still alive, God, as we have gone through what we've gone through, is a testimony of the fact that you are real and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. Or tonight we cry out, Father, help us to look at your word and to apply your word to our lives, God, as we take every scripture. God, give us just a piece, a morsel of an ability to take this word and apply it. Help us to understand it, Lord God. Help us to know exactly what we're reading so that we know what we're saying. Help us to know, Father God, so that as we read the word, that we will be able to say the word, that we will be able to declare the word, that we will be able to decree the word, that we will be able to, Father God, use the word as a sword to cut up the lies of the enemy. Lord God, we ask that you will help us, Father God, to just begin to permeate, Father God, the word within our being, Father, that we will be able to be a walking, talking example of your word, not to beat other people down, God, but to show people that a Savior lives that was able to redeem us from all that we have gone through. Father, help us to be bold, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed ashamed of our deliverance, not to be ashamed of where you brought us from, not even to be ashamed of what we're going through, because we got to go through to get to, and we can't take anybody somewhere that we have not been. We cannot take anybody somewhere that we're not willing to go. So, Father, help us to be the first partaker of our deliverance. Lord, before we look at someone else being delivered, help us to look at ourselves, God. Help me to look at myself to be delivered before, God, I can be able to help deliver someone else. Oh, God, we cry out tonight. Help us to be bold in the confession of our faith, knowing, God, that you said in your word that you would not put more on us than we can bear. Help us, God, to be bold in the confession of our faith, to know, Father God, that you are faithful, that has promised us. Help us to be bold in the confession of our faith, to know, God, that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you, Lord God. And you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, oh God. Father, and finally, help us to realize who we're serving. We repent for people pleasing. We repent for looking for validation. We repent for looking for acceptance. We repent, Father God, for looking all around us for someone to approve of what you've spoken, looking all around us for someone to confirm and affirm what you have said. God, help us to have discernment in the spirit so that we can be able to walk out what you've called us to do, not looking for a cheerleader, not looking for a coach, but looking, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Father God, we rebuke every word that has been spoken over us in previous seasons that has caused us to doubt who you have created us to be, that has even maybe caused us to even doubt who we're serving. We declare on tonight, God, that we are serving you, and beside you there is no other, that we love the Lord our God, and him only shall we serve. And Father, we pray that as we get to the revelation of these things, that we will also be able to be fishers of men. Help us, Lord God, to be able to know how to live this life to draw other people to you. Father God, give us opportunities so that we can be able to be a walking, talking witness of Jesus Christ. God, as we're on our jobs, as we are in our homes, Father God, help us to lift up the name that's above every name. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that when people see us, let them see not us, but let be more of you. God, whatever is in our hearts, Father, we lay it aside. Father, your word says to lay aside every weight and every sin that will so easily beset us, that we may run this race with patience that is set before us. So on tonight, God, we ask that you will pull out all of the evil parts of our heart, oh God. Pull out all of the parts, Father, of our hearts that do not line up with your word, God. Pull out all of the parts of our heart that cause us to help us, Father, to be able to be an example of Jesus Christ, to be fishers of men, to have the wisdom to be able to draw other people to you, not to us, Father, but to you. Help us to speak words of life, prophetic words, words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words, Father God, that will speak into the atmosphere to call those things to be not as though they already are. God, help us, Father God, to call for, Father God, things that are dead to life. God, help us to call our demons. Help us, God, to be able to deliver, to set free, to empower, to be able to push, to be able to motivate, to be able to encourage those that are broken, those that are weary, those that are empty, those that are discouraged. God, help us, God, to push the frustrated into a place of faith. Help us to push those that are perplexed into a place of praise. God, help us, Father, to start with ourselves, knowing, God, that the anointing placed on our lives is contagious, Father, and that you are going to do something great through us. This is our prayer on tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the people of God said amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry, but my time is over. I appreciate you being on this call tonight. If you don't have anything to do on Sunday, join us at 6209 Lakeside Avenue at 12 p.m. for our Spirit-filled worship service. This is Pastor Verinda Cause, and at this time, this conference call is now over. God bless you and have a good night. I love you guys.